If you would, find a sermon guide in your bulletin. If you don't have one, you're at home, open up to Ephesians chapter 1. If you're here, you can certainly use your Bible, but the bulletin contains the version that I'm using, the New American Standard Version. And it gives you plenty of, not plenty of space, there's a lot of scripture there, but it gives you some space to write, to take notes, that kind of thing. So if you would, find one of those called a sermon guide in your bulletin. In Ephesians chapter 1, we have an amazing passage. We're still not back in the book of Acts yet, back to our regular series, just because of stuff God's been laying on my heart in this season. And we're taking another couple of weeks to look at a topic that I think is really, really important to our lives together and individually, and especially in light of, from a pastor's perspective, what this congregation is experiencing at this time, at least many of us going through some tough stuff. I have something to say that many of you, some of you, many of you will simply not believe, because you can't believe what I'm fixing to share with you. And I have something to say that, unfortunately, I can't explain. My understanding fails me, and I just don't have language, I don't have words that are adequate to talk about this. I'm going to do the best I can to illuminate Scripture, and you'll need to take it before the Lord to see if it's true. It's unbelievable, but here it is. This is what the boy is trying to communicate today. This is a real simple sermon. God loves you. And I don't mean He loves you as the church, His bride. He does. And I don't mean that He loves you as the world. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He does. He loves every human being that He has created. Nobody's an accident. But I'm talking about He loves you personally at a level that is not comprehensible, at a level that's not believable, but I believe the Lord in Ephesians chapter 1 is trying to communicate this message to us, and we'll, in the near future, we'll go through the book of Ephesians. It's on the list because we're working through Acts, and we're going to get there fairly shortly if these little series don't, if these series will stop and we get back to the book of Acts. Take away from that upcoming series through the book of Ephesians, I would just kind of want to skim it a little bit and get the concept that God loves you individually. The problem that I see that we have is two things. One is we cannot believe what I just said because of who we are. I look pretty good on the outside. Well, I think I look really good on the outside. My wife is not. That's a good chance for you to get some points right there. Look, you know, we can look kind of shiny on the outside, but I know my heart. I'm a rascal. I'm a mess. I'm a disaster spiritually. God's working in me, but I know my fallenness, my sinfulness, every sinful tendency that you have, I have, maybe even to a heightened degree. And so I know that I'm a mess. God couldn't love me. God, other people, you might be saying right now, don't even love me. The people who are supposed to love me don't love me. My guardians didn't love me growing up. I've never really experienced love. How could the God, the holy God of the universe, possibly love me just based on what I know of myself? How is that possible? I mean, with a deep, intimate love. How is that even possible? That's number one. And then number two is the evidence for that. It's who we are, who we think ourselves to be, who we are. And then number two, what we've experienced. Are you kidding? With all of the pain that I've gone through even recently, God loves me? Well, why all this pain? And not to, you know, just dwell on COVID-19 and its difficulties that have been brought in life and the racial tensions in America and deep concern for where we're going for our kids and our grandkids. Now, beyond that, the loss of spouses in this congregation. If God loves me, why did I lose my spouse? Medical difficulties, I mean, deep, painful difficulties with terrible outcomes possibly, impending loss, Alzheimer's. You want to talk about something crazy, difficult, day by day by day? Taking care of a spouse with Alzheimer's? Where's the love of God in that? Nursing home. Right now, some might be viewing this message in a nursing home. Can't even have visitors now. Loss of a child. Prayed with a lady this morning, Gail, who lost her child yesterday. A mom's not supposed to lose a kid. He's a grown kid, but that's not supposed to happen. I can't even imagine that kind of grief. Where's the love of God in that? Right now, Faith Pierce is in All Children's Hospital, having gone through a bad water experience, and her brain is swollen, and her life is in the balance. We don't know what the outcome's going to be. She needs a miracle, and God has heard our tears. But with Tim and Rachel, where's the love of God at this time? Medical challenges with other children, wayward grandchildren that are ripping your hearts out. Why does God let them do what they're doing? Wayward spouse. The one person who's supposed to love me has cheated on me, gone through a divorce. Talking about feeling unloved. Singleness, loneliness, relationship pains, not to mention financial stuff, employment issues, and the list goes on. Bad stuff happens to good to Christians. Where's the love of God in all of that? The message in Ephesians 1 today is, wherever you're at, and wherever you're at home, if you're trusting Christ, God loves you individually. Not just all of us together. He loves you individually. There's nothing like experiencing being loved deeply. There's no other. You know, life is about one thing. It's about relationships. That's all of life. Everything else is a tool. And there's nothing like the experience of being loved deeply. I know that from my wife, an amazing lady with amazing love and forgiveness. Talking about grace. From my children, my extended family, this church family. Now, I live an unbelievable life of experiencing a deep love. And there's nothing that compares to it. Nothing else matters. Listen now. But more so, there is nothing that compares to being loved deeply by an immutable lover. When I say immutable, that means a lover who doesn't ever change. They're perfect to start with. Their love is perfect to start with. Their love is at a depth that's unbelievable to start with. And it never diminishes. Ever. An immutable lover. A love which can't be lost, because you can lose your spouse in this life. You can lose your children in this life. You can lose the people that are loving you the most deeply in this life. But what about the love of somebody who is absolutely loving you and they can never be lost, their love can never be lost? One who loved you before time began. Who knew he was going to create you before he ever wound up this thing called time and space and matter and energy. He had you planned out, and he knew he was going to have a love relationship with you from before time even began. one who will have a love relationship with you for all of eternity. You'll always be loved. Let me share with you today a love story. Let me share your love story if you're one who is trusting Christ right now. I'm going to open this exposition with the prayer. It's found at on the last page of your sermon guide. It is chapter 3 and verse 14 and following. And then we will start back in chapter 1 and verse 1. But I want you to know what Paul is shooting for here by the heart and spirit of God. This is Paul revealing his prayer as God was guiding him in his prayer for these folks in a place called Ephesus, a city in Turkey. And this is true today. This is how we are to pray. That we would, verse 16, be strengthened, that Christ would dwell, have his home in our hearts through faith. That's our part, just trusting him, period. No merit. And there's this epistle is very careful to word out no merit, only trusting Christ. That we, being rooted, verse 17, and grounded in love. Picture that. Your roots are in love. You're grounded in love. That's the love of God. That you might be able to comprehend with all the rest of the saints. And that's you, if you're trusting Christ, you're a saint, a holy one. The breadth and length and height and depth, that means just looking at God's love from just every possible angle, even in four dimensions, to know the love of Christ. Paul is attempting in this letter to communicate the knowledge of the love of Christ. And he's going to go, you're not going to get this on your own. It's got to be something that God illuminates your heart regarding. There's got to be a strength that Christ is dwelling, not just kind of sort of there, but dwelling totally at home in you as you're trusting him. You're grounded in his love. You're connected to his love inseparably. And even as you're there, comprehend each day more and more the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ, with the end result that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. In other words, not live shallow, but live deep, a deep love, all the fullness of God, experiencing his fullness of his character, because it's everything's grounded. Our knowledge of him is grounded in his love for us. You say, well, that's impossible. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do way beyond anything we can imagine, according to his power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever. Amen? It's going to be all of him. Chapter 1, verse 1. Let's do pray. Father, we do thank you for grace today. You've laid on my heart an impossible topic to communicate. We can't even describe human love to one another. There's no words that can even describe what human love is to a person who's not really experienced it, let alone the love of the immutable, the eternal love of God. That's at a depth that's just, we don't have any ability to even begin to grab. Even in the midst of difficulties, Lord Jesus, work the miracle of illumination that we would know the love of God. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 1, book of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Just quick note on Paul's love story. He's writing from prison, facing the death penalty. And he's writing about the love of God. Back in Philippians, we studied through that letter. He was writing about joy in the Lord. Here he's writing about the love of God from prison. written about the same time Philippians was, if you remember that series. And he says he's an apostle, a sent out one, by the will of God. Yeah, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, when he who had set me apart even from my mother's womb called me by his grace. I didn't have a chance. I became a terrorist trying to destroy the church. But God chose me even while I was, this is his story, even while I was in my mother's womb, God chose me and he called me through his grace. Why didn't God call Paul earlier in life before he did those acts of terrorism? I don't know. But God selected a day where he would interrupt the life of a terrorist, full breed, trying to destroy the church, responsible for murder and terror and pain. God says, today's the day. And saved him. Does anybody get that? Look at your life. Why did God call you? One of the great mysteries of the universe. Why did God call me on the day he did? He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God I am what I am. When you hear the word grace today, by the way, think of the word love. We kind of spiritualize that word grace. Just think of a depth of love, unmerited love, but a depth of love. Every time you see the word grace today, it's just love. By the love of God, I'm saved, even though I was persecuting the church, Paul says. So that's his little bit of his love story. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, but it is by the love of God, writing to the saints. Who are saints? Those who are made holy. No matter what you've done. Paul was a saint. He was a terrorist, and then one day he became a saint. Separated from his sin, separated from him, he was separated unto Christ and unto the gospel. Saint means separated. Separated unto God. You're God's, in other words. And we want to become more and more who we are, but you're made a saint the moment you trust Christ. To the saints who are in Ephesus, this translation has faithful in Christ. It could be translated faithful, or it could be translated believing. You could take it either way. And they both have different nuances to them. Faithful tends to mean you've been walking faithful, so this is true about you. But I want to suggest to you, I would translate it believing. You got an equal choice. Translation have equal choice. Because that's what's being pounded every other time the word comes up, which I'm not going to take us through right now. Just trust me on this. What's being pounded is everything in the love of God for us is without any merit on our part. We haven't reached a degree of faithfulness, and now God loves us a little bit more. That's completely contrary to everything we're going to read. So I'm just going to say it's to the believing ones. I think that's plain by the context. So this whole passage is true for the believing ones. If you're believing in Christ, you're a saint because of the love of God. You're completely, your sin separated from you. You're made holy in the mind of God. Verse 2, grace to you and peace. That's the title of the message and even the series. Grace or love to you and peace. It's a declaration. It's a blessing. It's a truth if you're trusting Christ. Grace to you, love to you, and peace from God our Father. We have a Father, and he is the one who is the lover of our souls and the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a King. And this is the deepest love story, the most moving love story you've ever heard. It's like a fairy tale, except it's true. But it's the Cinderella, and the King, the Prince, comes and rescues her. That's the Savior we're looking at. We're lost. He comes and rescues us and gives us his fullness of grace and his fullness of peace. And his Father is in the whole deal at the same time. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified, it means made righteous, by faith in Christ, we have peace with God. And that passage goes on to say, and therefore we stand in grace. Peace with God, and we stand on and are enveloped by the love of God. That's this life. And Romans 5, great homework assignment, goes on to speak about that's true, listen now, even in the worst of difficulties. Read it, the beginning of chapter 5, and work your way into chapter 8 if you would. A great study. All right, so grace to you, it's a prayer, it's a truth, it's a blessing. Grace is yours and peace if you're trusting in Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, English teachers are folks who give a rip about English. Check this one out, put this one in your pipe. Verses 3 through 14 is one sentence. Okay? Check that out. I just want to frustrate English teachers. I just had a rash of bad English teachers going through school. I don't know, you know, along with other teachers, all right? So I just got to be hard on English. One sentence, all right? The whole thing is just this, you know. And so the idea is connect these thoughts together. It's one flow, one sentence, connect the thoughts together. But what's the big idea of the sentence? What's the main phrase? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the main phrase. And then he's going to talk about, phrases that complement that in some way, and we're going to get to those in just a moment. What does it mean that God is blessed? It means that he's good, that he's magnificent, that he is beautiful, that he is worthy of adoration, that he is worthy of praise. He's in a blessed state. It's the opposite of being in a cursed state. God is beautiful. He's magnificent. And we're going to talk about this lover, this immutable lover, being so magnificent with this love. That's the idea. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Notice that word every. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. First of all, these blessings come from us being in Christ. Get used to that expression. That's, I think, about 11 times in these verses, I believe. In Christ, united to Christ. You're in Christ. Christ is in you if you're trusting him as your Savior. We call that union. That's the big concept. All these blessings are ours as we're united inseparably to Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't see that. Here's the big reality in life. God's reality, not yours. And you got to grab a hold of that in studying Scripture. This is God's reality. God right now views you in a true way. This is true truth. God views you in a true way of being completely inseparably united to Christ. That where Christ is, you are. That where you are, Christ is. That's the mind of God. That is God's reality. That's the greatest reality. And our minds don't see it that way, unfortunately. We got to trust God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. In other words, everything that is good about God's character, everything that's good about heaven is ours even right now. Pure goodness from the storehouses of heaven are ours even at this time and will be ours in greater detail for all of eternity. Every spiritual blessing is ours. Ever feel disappointed? You know, you didn't get chosen for this. The cookies when you were a kid were being doned out and you had a twin brother that just snatched the majority of them. You know, just the disappointments that can happen in life. You know, you should have got the promotion. You didn't get the promotion. You got overlooked. You should have got, an equal share of the inheritance. You didn't get an equal share for some reason. You got overlooked. Disappointments happen. What God's saying here is, we have an immutable lover of our soul who has blessed us and will bless us with every spiritual gift. If you're a believer, you're not going to miss out on anything God has to offer. And right now, our tendency is to do what? Compare and contrast. Well, God obviously loves Herman more than he loves me. Because Herman's not going through any difficulties. And look at the difficulties I'm going through. I'm missing out. God's holding out on me. And God's saying here, no, Herman has every spiritual blessing, what's good for his life and for all of eternity, and so do I. He blesses us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. This is God's reality. We're inseparably united to Christ, and therefore we have it all now and for all of eternity, what is truly good for us. All right, so let's go ahead and take a look at these blessings now. There's six of them listed. Verse 4, this is the beginning of your love story. This is where your love story began. Okay, want to know where it began? And young people, I'm talking about you if you're trusting Christ. Okay, this is where your love story began. You weren't there, by the way. Verse 4, just as, here's the first blessing, he chose us. And I'm just going to stop right there. I want you to think about that. The God that created the universe chose you. Not together, but individually. Some would say, well, this has to do with he just kind of chose the church. Well, but that, think about that. And go into chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and then think about it some more. You don't just choose a mass. You got to choose individuals to be part of that church. God chose you personally. You remember, you know, kickball in elementary school? You know, and you're wanting to make the team, you know, and you're trying to get the two older guys, their captains, you know, and you're trying to get their attention, and it's down to like you and a potted plant, you know what I'm saying? And I'll take the plant, you know. I mean, it's, you know, you and a bush, you know what I'm saying? You're wanting to get chosen, and that we go through life that way. Sports. Want to get the coach's attention, so we make the starting team, acting, music, job, dating. We get turned down. Here's the good news. God, if you're trusting Christ right now, God chose you. Don't worry about elementary school. Don't worry about the job you got passed up for this week, okay? God chose you. Notice the next words. God chose you in him. Get used to seeing those words, because everything is ours because we're united to Christ. In the mind of God, God saw us before he ever created us. In the mind of God, he saw you as being inseparably united to Jesus Christ. Jesus being in you, you being in Jesus. So he chose you in Jesus before the foundation of the world. What that means is, before the foundation of the world, okay? Before he ever made the cosmos, before he ever made everything, time and space and matter, he chose you before he ever made you or anything else. In chapter 2, verse 10, we'll look later, probably not today, at good works which God prepared beforehand at the same time that you should be walking in them. So he chose you, and he chose a life for you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul's writing to Timothy. He says this to Timothy. He saved us and called us, you and me, Tim. He saved you, he saved me, and he called us with a holy calling, a set-apart calling, not according to works we've done, not because we've lived a good life, but according to his own purpose and grace, or love, which he granted us in Christ before all eternity. Tim, I'm going to talk to you about leadership, but you got to grab a hold of this first. Before all eternity, God made a choice to make you, and God made a choice to call you into being his own. Why? God chose us in him before the foundation of the world, this is the beginning of your love story, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. Look at that, this last phrase. Ever feel dirty? It's horrible. I have too many times recently. Just feel dirty. You know you. You know what you've done. You know your wayward thoughts even now, and you just feel dirty. You can't believe it. You just feel dirty. Imagine standing before your immutable lover and he sees you pure as the driven snow. He sees your heart. He knows you way better than you know yourself. And he sees you as pure as the driven snow. Not one blemish, not one dot, nothing. Once again, that's God's reality. And that's the reality that matters. And that's real reality. How could that be? Well, he's fixing to tell us here momentarily. It's because Christ really did take your sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He made Him who knew no sin become sin in your behalf that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You're as righteous as God is righteous because every sin is removed and was placed on Christ 2,000 years ago. And because every good thing He ever did, every good thing Christ ever did was placed on your account. That's real reality. That's the mind of God. And I don't give a rip what other people are saying about you. That's what you got to believe. And that's because you have an immutable lover of your soul that loved you before He ever made time, space, matter, and energy. He chose you in Christ, in His mind, you were connected to Christ and you're not bringing any sin there, before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless. Listen now, before Him, before Him. Now, practically, we're wanting to become who we truly are, and that is Christianity. We want to live holy lifestyles. We want to live blameless lifestyles. That's a goal. But you're already that. Be becoming who you truly are. Be motivated by that depth of love and grace. Second blessing. Verse 5, or leading to verse 5. That little word in love, that could go with either one. This is a run-on sentence, and so it's difficult on translators. So you can put quite frankly, it goes really well with either one. Let's just take that little phrase, in love. With verse 4, He chose you in Jesus before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Is that true? Absolutely, that's true. Or you can look at it this way. In love, He predestined you to adoption as sons. Both are true. Take it either way. Just make it go either way because it goes either way. So, let's just join it to verse 5 right now. That's what we're talking about. Number 2 blessing. This is your love story continuing right now. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons. I don't like that part about as sons. I'm His daughter. I'm a girl. You know, I'm His daughter. Well, I get that. And I think you could probably throw in there as His children. I get that. But think about this. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker vessel and grant her honor, listen now, as a fellow heir of the grace of life so that your prayers are not hindered. Now the verse is about husbands. Treat your wives great or God's not interested in talking to you. But that's another sermon. Your wife, if she's a believer, is a fellow heir. Sons were the heirs. And daughters, I hate to break it to you, back in the day, based on the evidence we have, weren't. You're an heir. Sister, if you trust in Christ, you're my sister. You're an heir, a fellow heir with your husband and with every other believer. So I'm just going to throw that out so you don't get too ruffled over the passage. In love, he predestined us. What does predestined mean? Before the foundation of the world, this was his plan. I can't explain it. In the mind of God, this was his plan. In love, he predestined you to be adopted as his child through, there it is again, through Christ. It could be in Christ, equally, through Christ, through what Jesus did for you, to himself. You're not adopted kind of into heaven to live down the road somewhere. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Think about that. In the Father's house. This whole thing of mansions in heaven is just bogus. I know it's in a song. It's just not true. We get to be in the Father's house as his children, not down the street somewhere. I don't care how big the house is. Okay? In my Father's house are many dwelling places, is a great translation of John chapter 14. We get to be with the Father, with the Son, forever and forever and forever, and experience a love that will continue to grow in the knowledge of. Will we know everything when we get to heaven? No! You'll continue to grow in the knowledge of the love of God forever and forever. Because we're in his presence. Unending presence forever and forever. So in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus, through what Jesus did for us, to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. It was all his will, nothing, no merit on our part. To the praise of the glory of his grace, the glory of his love. His glorious love, a love that's so glorious we can't begin to understand. What's our response so far? What have we done so far? We're believing in Christ, period. That's all you're going to read for a long time in the book of Ephesians. That's it. We're just believing. We're just trusting. It's all him, and he predestined us to be adopted through Christ to himself according to his plan, to the praise of the glorious love that he has for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's glorious. His love is glorious. His grace is glorious. And all we're left to do, really, what's the takeaway? Number one, God really loves you. And number two, you're left to love him and to praise him and to adore him. That's the takeaway. That's it. That's everything I got planned today, because that's the passage. To the praise of the glory of his grace, that we contemplate on the love of God, the love of God, the gracious, the glorious love of God. That's the takeaway, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In the beloved, the word beloved is singular, therefore he's talking about Jesus. So it's just the same as saying in Christ. He's just using a different expression. He freely bestowed this grace on us in Christ, this grace of adoption. Imagine being adopted as his child. Ever feel like nobody cares? Nobody really cares about me. Ever feel that way? Nobody cares. The immutable lover of your soul cares about you. How much? Do you have a son? Do you have a daughter? Are you a son or a daughter with a decent parent? Do you care about your son? Do you care about your daughter? Do you agonize for them? Are they on your heart all the time? Every parent knows the answer to that. Does anybody really care? Yeah, your father cares with a love that's way deeper than your love for your kid. That's the message. You're adopted as a son. Even though you're going through some crazy hard stuff, the lover of your soul is your father. And he loves you more than you love your child. We're adopted. Let's do one more. Number three. In him, it's in Jesus, we have redemption. What is redemption? But we don't use it a lot today. We're bought back. Back in the day, I think a common way it was used, if somebody had a slave and you wanted to free them from their slavery, you would pay a given price and they would be freed from their slavery. Their owner would receive the money and free them. That's redemption. You've been bought back, not from Satan. Satan doesn't own anything. You've been bought back from your sin. The price of your sin has been paid by Christ. So you've been redeemed if you're trusting Christ. In him, that's in Jesus, we have redemption, the payment of our sin, through his blood. What was the price that was paid for you? Talking about the love of God. The life of God. Christ gave up his life, his blood for you on that cross. The forgiveness of our trespasses. A trespass is a breaking, crossing the line. It's sin. The forgiveness of our sin according to the riches of his grace. Notice again, this word grace, this love is in every thought. It's because of the riches of the love of God which he lavished upon us. You're redeemed. Ever feel like you're being punished? This wouldn't be happening if God wasn't getting me back. Right? I'm tempted to feel that way. I got nothing going on compared to what many of y'all have. You feel like you're being punished. God's getting me. What's he getting me for? Well, how do I get it right? God's word to you is you've been redeemed through his blood. Now I want you to just, we're closing with this. This is the last thought. We're closing with this. I want you to think about the value of the love of Christ. I'm sorry, the value of the blood of Christ. I want you to think about this. God gave up his life in your place to truly pay the penalty due to you of every act of rebellion. And it is a horrible, blasphemous affront to God to go, that wasn't good enough. And I know you'd never say that, and I know I'd never say that, but that's what we're saying when we go, God must be punishing me. As if the price, the payment for your sin, wasn't sufficient, God's got to extract some more stuff out of you. I'm trying to be nice, but think about how blasphemous that is. And yet I've been preaching this stuff for years, and my tendency, my default is still to go there. Pray for me. Pray for you that we would never go there. No, if you're trusting Christ, you're not being punished for your sin because God doesn't punish sin doubly. Now, Hebrews chapter 12, God works discipline in our lives. God causes and or allows certain difficult things to happen to grow us. But it's never punishment. The price for your sin has been paid. And I'm begging you to believe that, along with the rest of what we've been looking at. We have redemption. Our sin has been paid. You know, you're not being punished no matter how bad the things are that are happening in your life because Christ paid the penalty of every act of rebellion you've ever done or ever will do. All I can say is I'm begging you to pray through this and to believe this. And I'm going to close with the prayer that is in chapter 3. That indeed, in every way, the Father. I'm in chapter 3, verse 14. This is the prayer time. That the Father, who created everybody and everything, would grant to you all and to me according to the riches of His glory, that we would all be strengthened with power, His power, because we're so unbelieving. Through His Spirit in our inner person, verse 17, so that Christ would really be at home in us as we're trusting Him. And the result of Him really being at home in us, that we would be now rooted and grounded in love, like a plant in perfect soil, so that we are able to comprehend with all the other saints all the dimensions of the love of Christ, that we can know the love of Christ because it surpasses knowledge, anything we might possibly be able to discern. That the result would be we would be filled up to all the fullness of God. Verse 20, what we're left with, to Him, the blessed God, who is able to do beyond all that we ask or think, according to His power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In every way, may God bless you. I've got a mask over here. I'm going to put it on here in just a second. If you want to talk, feel free to come on up. Other leaders are around. Remember your mask in the hallway. Thank you for being here. Call us, contact us anytime about absolutely anything. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.